at 7 o'clock. Does anybody know if I'm up this coming? Well, 7 o'clock, welcome to City Council meeting for the City of Shore Acres. It's Monday, November 13th, 2017. 1.0, call order, roll call.
Alderman Jennings.
Present.
Alderman McCallum.
Present.
Mayor Pro Tem Bowe.
Present.
Mayor Sanford.
Present.
Alderwoman Reimals. Alderman Hoskins.
Present.
We have a quorum.
2.0, pledge allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag
of the United States of America, and to the republic where it stands, one nation under God, and indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Under the Texas flag, I pledge allegiance to the Texas, one state under God, one and indivisible.
Moving on, 3.0, special presentations, there are none. 4.0, council reports and requests, there are none. 5.0, public hearing, public comment. 5.1, public comment, this is the opportunity for the public to address council on or comment on items which appear on the agenda. Time is limited to 5 minutes per speaker. Comments should be addressed to the city council, and dialogue with the audience is not permitted. Council members are prohibited by law from participating in discussion or deliberation of items not specifically identified on the agenda. We're going to start over on this side. Does anybody over here have anything? This way.
Just keep going.
I remain Neil Moyer at 1118 North Country Club Drive. Initially, I'd like to address item 7.6. The agenda package does not have any information on this bill that was introduced in the House in January, the federal U.S. House in February of this year. The bill remains in the House Judiciary Committee. No hearings have been scheduled. No actions have been taken. I should point out that concealed gun permits, concealed firearms, are allowed in all 50 states. 4 states do not require any permits whatsoever. These are Arizona, Wyoming, Vermont, and Alaska. The other 46 states all have requirements, statutes, that have different requirements for having a concealed firearm permit. This is a matter which has been wholly in purview of the states heretofore. If any of the states, for example, were interested in having reciprocity, they certainly have had ample opportunity to take that action on their own. Certainly, say, Texas, with surrounding states, could have taken that action. It hasn't been taken, as far as I have been able to research. Not a single state that requires a permit has a reciprocity allowance or provision under their state laws or state regulations for concealed firearm permits. It seems odd that an area which heretofore has been a purview of state governments, this federal bill would introduce federal intervention into this matter. It's not entirely clear. Like I said, the bill has been in the Judiciary Committee. No action has been taken, no hearings. There are a goodly number of Congress members who have signed on and did so initially, but as I said, even with that, no action has been taken. I don't know if this is an area of the City of Shore Acres to get involved with at this time, especially since there's no action on this part. I would like to briefly ask that item 7.7, that there be some discussion giving some details on this matter and what the motivation is. I'm sure that Alderman Jennings will regale us with his intentions. And with that, I will forego any further allowance and seeking of your forbearance. Thank you.
Is there anybody else? Okay, we're going to move on to 6.0, Administrative Report, 6.1, City Manager's Report.
Good evening. I have after tonight 5 regular council meetings left in my tenure.
and I have started the process of having Debbie Nesbitt step up to the plate and get used to taking the meetings. I will not be here on December 11th, so one more meeting, then I'll get out for that one back. Hurricane Harvey storm debris removal, the county was doing, FEMA is complete. And today I hope to have done a survey to make sure there wasn't anything else that's missed, but I wasn't able to get out, and I did make an inquiry, and I understand that there is no storm debris remaining. The palm trees, we did have one tree that was left. Public Works cut that tree down and has taken care of removing that tree. So we are done with the palm trees that were on our slate to remove on Shore Acres Boulevard. Of course, that does leave us with some other palm trees in the city that we will be looking at in the near future removing that are also dead. The Byway Seagrove Shore Acres Boulevard drainage update. City engineer Jerry Gaynor has identified a 30-foot easement. This week he will have the meets and bounds and legal description of that easement. The city attorney has already prepared an easement document and is waiting on that legal description. We'll have a document that we can then take to the property owner of the two lots. Part of that easement was doing a realignment, so instead of impacting three lots, we get it down to two lots. It would be impacted. Expect to have that this week. Cleanup Greenup has been scheduled. We'll start on Tuesday, November 27th, following Thanksgiving. It won't start on Monday because they'll have had the holiday pickups from residential that they'll need to catch up on, and they'll be here on Tuesday. They'll be both doing vegetative as well as general debris. No household hazardous materials, but it will be an exercise, heavy pickup. They do have a grapple truck that they'll be using to do that, providing space in the city for them to put a container that they will do the pickup, put in the container, and then move all that to landfill after they've done the collection, which will accelerate it. We won't lose half a day every time it has to go to landfill to empty. That work will start on the 28th and continue until it's all picked up. The sent you a notice in the last couple of days about a sewer main failure. We discovered a sinkhole on the right of way of Southbrook between Shady Lawn and Baywood. We have a street right of way with no street there, so the access is easy. It's a smaller line, it's an 8-inch line. There's a manhole on Baywood, there's a manhole on Shady Lawn. We attempted to TV that. I sent that to council as well. And there's no top of pipe, and sections of it are collapsed where they couldn't TV it. It does provide the only path for wastewater from the Houston Yacht Club, which is arguably our largest customer. And so we're looking to replace that line. Fortunately, we won't have to do pipe bursting. We won't have any surfaces other than to get to the manholes to deal with. City engineer is in the process of getting quotes for that. It's only about a 6.5-foot deep line, so it's not terribly deep. So that'll be an open trench work, which is about the least expensive as you can do, just to go in there and take care of that all within the city right away. That doesn't impact anything else. I would also note that not on here that over the weekend we had a failure of a piece of equipment in the city server. And so from about noon on, we've not had the ability to access any of our files or records from about 2 o'clock on. That took down the city's email server. And so we have had no email since then. We're getting a part for the computer that's under warranty. It'll be replaced tomorrow. By the time they get the part and get here, it'll probably about 10 o'clock before that work starts. All of our data is safe. We have a RAID system. Hard drives are in good shape. It's the hardware for the virtual drives that's failed, and we also have off-site backup. So I'm very confident we've not lost any material other than lost a little time today, and we'll do a little time tomorrow so we can get to our software, get back online, do things like update the website. And that's the city manager report.
Okay. Does anybody have any questions for Mr. Stahl? Student on 6.2 monthly police department report, Chief Harrison.
I'm sure you all received a police report in your package. I'll bring attention close to the bottom. basically show what's sexual assault, and that's not accurate. It got put in as a sexual assault. It was actually a follow-up for a sexual assault. This was a case that was brought before your attention several months ago. Alleged sexual assault of a child that did not occur. I counted before I came over 107 man-hours in this case, just to kind of show you how time-extensive some of these cases are. But after DNA testing and going to Children's Assessment Center and conducting interview after interview, DA refused charges, and the act didn't occur. Still on our, it will still be reported as such, and that's a shame for our city, but nonetheless, I'm proud of doing that. Other than that, everything else is what I'd call a normal month. We've had some disturbances and things like that. We're starting to ramp up code enforcement again. Now that the city has been picked up, we're watching for people to put those piles out and make sure that if they get put out, they don't grow, because that's what happens. They start all small, and then people tend to pile on. So we're going to try to keep that from happening this time around, so we don't end up like we were last time with piles that continue to grow. And that's about it.
Does anybody have any questions for Chief Harrison? Thank you.
And
then
we're going
to item 6.3,
monthly
Public Works Department report.
Does Ingram, which is called? Yeah, it's the written reports in your packet. I would note that I've been working with Public Works Director Ingram on improving the monthly productivity report. You'll see in there now, it's in a column fashion for the months. As soon as we finish this year, it'll be a rolling 12 months, so you'll be able to look at what the activity is over a 12-month period. That'll show things like the fact that the last month we did the most mowing of ditches in terms of hours mowed than we have all year. I think this provides council with more useful information. We'll be able to track progress and where we're having various types of activity. A couple more tweaks will be made to this, but I think we're headed in the right direction.
Okay. Anybody have any questions? Moving on to 7.0 business. 7.1, consideration and action to adopt resolution number 2017-284, authorizing the preparation of financial documents, financing documents, and a preliminary official statement for certificate of obligation. Jennings.
Yeah, I make a motion to approve resolution number 2017-284, a resolution authorizing preparation of financing documents, a preliminary official statement for certificates of obligation, and authorizing certain other matters relating thereto, finding compliance with the open meetings law, providing an efficient date hereof.
Do you have a second?
I'll second.
So we have a motion brought by Alderman Jennings, seconded by Alderman Bowles, to adopt resolution number 2017-284, authorizing preparation of financing documents and preliminary official statement for certificate of obligation. Jennings,
I really don't think there's a lot to talk about. I mean, we went over it extensively at the last meeting and we tabled it so that people could contact council. I can assure you, I tell you that not a single person contacted me. So if somebody else was contacted, then, you know, it's up to you. So I have nothing else.
McCown?
No, ma'am.
Bowles?
No.
Hodgson?
Well, we haven't, make sure I understand what we're doing here. We haven't even put out of the certificate of obligation to the amount to do it. I'm confused as to what this is actually going to accomplish at this point. And we can't do amounts until we figure out what it is we're actually going to do. And that's part of the scope of services of Cobb Family that we're discussing in another agenda item. So I don't know, it looks like we're putting the horse before the cart. That's my comments on it. They're doing an amount to not to exceed $3 million when we're going to spend about $64,160 to figure out what we need to spend and how much we need to spend. So doing something not to exceed $3 million, we don't know what we need yet. It just doesn't make sense to me. We should wait until we get the proposal for the engineering services from Cobb Family, and then we'll have a much better idea. That's my comments.
Jennings?
Again, all this does is it authorizes the preparation of these statements. We're waiting for the amount that we're going to spend. This says not to exceed $3 million. If you want to increase it, if you want to decrease it, I don't think we should increase it more than $3 million, which is why it's on there. But that's all this does. We're not spending anything. What we're doing is we're trying to save a little bit of time when we get those documents, and we can vote on whichever projects they are, and we're in a quicker position to get those done.
McCown?
I'm good.
Bowles?
Yeah.
Acker?
Okay. So let me make sure I'm real clear on this. So doing this does not obligate us to take any certificate of obligation now. You're just preparing the paperwork.
That's correct.
Okay, well, I don't have a problem with it then.
Anybody else? Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those against? Passes unanimously. Move on to 7.2. Consideration and action to select the city manager finalist for second interview and discussion of employment. Selection of additional candidates to be scheduled for interview or suspend selection process and authorize the city manager to hire an interim city manager to ensure continuity of management in the event the city manager position is not filled by January 8, 2018. Do we have a motion?
You don't have any action.
Okay.
We'll just do discussion.
I guess we'll start with Jennings. Is there anything?
Well, I think we should. I guess the question is, we've interviewed three people. Does anyone want to move forward with any of those people? I think two people that we had requested did not choose to participate. So that's five, and we interviewed three. And I unfortunately left my file at home, but I'm not sure which candidate it was. But the first one last week would be the only one I would possibly be interested in. Honestly, I'm not really interested in any of them at this point.
Hey, McCown, is there anyone that you're interested in?
I'm in agreement with Alderman Jennings. There's nothing that I would think would suit us from what we've seen so far. And I think we better have a possible plan to have a temporary city manager come in if we have to, because so far from what I've seen, it's just going to create more problems than what we have. A lot more problems than what we have.
There's nobody that I see as a top choice. I think at this point in time, I think an interim city manager would be the best way to go. That way we can get somebody in here January 8th and then ease them in to the position. So talking with Mr. Stahl, ideal would be just a couple hours a week or a day, correct? The first month, just to kind of get them up to speed, because we don't need them here full-time for 40 hours a week starting out. Just until we get closer to your retirement, am I correct?
That's what I'd recommend. If you use a service like Texas First, in particular, their interims are agreeable to doing hourly work, and it would be a phase-in so that if they started on January 8th, they would work a limited number of hours to get up to speed and then work towards being full-time end of February as the transition occurs. That's easiest on our budget. It also really works better because you still have work to get done. It can't all be just doing a handoff. But that's what my recommendation would be if you do an interim.
And with that particular company, it's set up like a temp service, where if they bring somebody in and it's a long commute, or if they don't work out, they draw more than this, rather than us just making an agreement with somebody that's retired. At least that way we have an option to say, all right, look, this person isn't working. Can you send somebody else? And they have a pool to draw from. It's not just working on an agreement with one person. So I just, in my opinion, I think that's the best way to go at this point in time. So that's all I have.
Okay.
Yeah, well, it also can be used, if it's Texas first or first Texas, whichever it is, it's right before you buy type.
Yeah.
Yeah, so midterm.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you, Ron.
It's a tribe. It's kind of set up like a try before you buy. They do both interim for people that aren't looking for long term, but they also do the long term where that candidate may be interested in becoming a full time city manager. I'm also in agreement that we talked to three candidates, putting them on a ladder. I don't think any of them really totally reached the plateau of what we're looking for, unfortunately. So I think the interim city manager may be our best choice at this point.
So do you guys take action?
But in order to do the action, I think we're going to have to do that at the next council meeting because we have to do that by ordinance.
Yeah, I would agree with Alderman Hawson. But it doesn't preclude Mr. Stahl from gathering the information for the next meeting. And
right.
Then we can.
At that time, they'll all vote to go ahead and use an interim.
So the ordinance is to hire a city manager?
The ordinance is authorizing you to hire a city manager, making that one of the duties of the interim.
Yeah, an interim city manager through this service.
Well,
under Chapter 25.
I'm just confused why it needs to be an ordinance.
It doesn't.
Yeah.
But I don't know that we should do that tonight. In other words, what we're saying is that you'll bring it back again next game with more specifics about the different services that you have.
Sure.
Right, but I think council's always consensus that that's what they want to do.
And that will give me the opportunity then now to notify the candidates that we're going to suspend the search.
Start again in the new year, I guess. I don't know. For you guys, the people that we interviewed, they just didn't, to me, seem to be a fit for our city. Now, I can't speak for anyone else. They just didn't seem to be a fit. And like I say, two of them chose not to, so we picked. They didn't think we were a fit for them.
So in fairness, now I can let the candidates know that we're suspending presently. And is it the will of council that I'm looking for from a temp agency perspective as opposed to those who have expressed interest as individuals being?
So it sounds like.
Yeah.
You guys want to go through the temp service to say or put in South Texas?
Or you want all of them on the menu?
That's why you're the city manager. You can decide. I don't really care.
Well, I think that Bowles is correct, that there's an advantage to using someone that does a placement so that if the next person is not a good fit as a temp, that you can swap out. If you do an arrangement with, Ron Cox is a great guy, but it's just Ron Cox. Carrie Sweat, I didn't realize that the company is, I never heard his company name before, but I've known him for a long time. Carrie Sweat runs the agency type arrangement. And he has a bench with a lot of people on it, and to swap out for another person is a lot less problematic for council than trying to cut a new deal and start from scratch. So that's what I'll bring back at the next meeting, unless I hear otherwise. A proposal in that direction. How that would be.
I have a question. When's your last day?
February 28th.
That's the last day of the month?
Yes.
Okay. Isn't the retirement system, you're required to go the last day of the month?
Well, the way that works is if you retire any day in the month, your retirement date is the last day of the month.
Okay.
So there's no advantage to doing anything other than the last day.
Okay. Okay, so we're going to move on to 7.3. Consideration and action to approve utility account balance adjustment in excess of $500 to authorize the city code section 66188. Do we have a motion?
I'll go ahead and move to approve utility account adjustment in excess of $500 as authorized by city code. What was that? 66-188.
Do we have a second?
I'll second.
No
I don't see either. Let me go get it because I'm going to get caught in the computer problem.
Okay, so we have a motion brought by Hoskins, seconded by Bowles, to approve utility account balance adjustments in excess of $500, also as the city code section 66-188. So we're just waiting on the information that was not in the packet.
Jeez,
it's freezing.
It's nice and warm outside. But like I said before, I don't put more clothes on. I want them to take it off.
To save time from running a copy of the thing, just tell me what it is, and then I'll share with you if it's anything you want to look at. This is a resident on West Forest. Their 6-month average usage is 25,000 gallons a month. In September, it was 88,000 gallons. They did have a leak from their sprinkler system. The item was repaired. Here's a receipt from Fisher Irrigation where the repair was made. The adjustment would be, it's a huge bill. I have their history ledger here. The adjustment would be $519.75 for water, $63 for sewer, for a total adjustment of $582.75.
I'm good. Just met the threshold. I thought I had a high average water usage.
We should send a thank you letter to food. This is it.
The rate.
I have no questions.
Anybody else? Okay, so we're going to vote on a motion to approve utility account balance adjustments in excess of $500 authorized by City Code Section 66-188, brought by Hoskins, seconded by Bowles. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those against? Passes unanimously. Moving on to 7.4, consideration and action to approve engineer study. Is there a motion?
I'll move to consider and approve. Well, consider and take action to approve. I move, let me rephrase that. I move to approve the engineering study.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
I have one question. Aren't we supposed to be doing these through resolutions? Because council, the only thing that they can technically do are resolutions and ordinances.
Resolutions don't have to be reduced to writing.
They're supposed to be. Considerations and we have no resolutions. But okay, so we're going to start with Jennings.
I guess I'm with you, Mayor, but I don't understand what we're doing there. 7.4?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, engineering study, we're talking about the cost of everything?
Yes.
Which we have copies of?
Yes.
Yes. Well, I'm good with that. We already put it in the budget explicitly for that reason. I asked Mr. Shaw to put this here so we would make it sure, make sure we would. We all understand what we're doing, and I promise when we were passed the budget that we would do this. So.
McCown?
No, good.
Bowles? Hoskins?
I think we need to do this. It's critical.
So, all those in favor of approving the engineer study?
Aye.
All those against? It passes unanimously. 7.5, consideration and action to adopt resolution 2017-287, authorizing the city administrator to purchase one police vehicle through the cooperative purchase program to use in Galveston Area Council. Do you have a motion?
I make a motion to approve resolution 2017-287, resolution approving and authorizing the city administrator, city, I need to amend this, make the city manager. City manager to purchase one police patrol vehicle under a Houston Galveston Area Council Cooperative Purchasing Program contract. Make the various findings and provisions relating to the subject and finding compliance with the open meetings law and providing effective date hereof.
Okay, so we have a motion brought by Jennings to adopt resolution number 2017-287 authorizing the city manager to purchase one police vehicle through the Cooperative Purchase Program of Houston Galveston Area Council. Do I have a second?
Second.
Was that McKenna?
Yeah.
Okay, so we have a motion brought by Jennings. We'll start with Jennings.
Yeah, we need to amend the first paragraph, obviously, for administrator, and also the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. The sixth paragraph also says that administrator should be manager.
So we're going to make a motion to amend the wording in Resolution 2017-287 to remove administrator and replace with city manager throughout the document?
Yes, ma'am.
That's
very good.
The sixth one says city manager.
Okay, and that's the motion brought by Jennings. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
It passes, so we're going to go back to the main motion to adopt Resolution 2017-287 authorizing the city manager to purchase one police vehicle. Brought by Jennings, seconded by McCown. Do we have a discussion? Start with Jennings.
Yeah, this is just a budgeted item. Just making it official, I guess.
McCown?
Chief, does that, when the vehicle arrives, will that have the same color scheme as what we already have?
Yes, sir.
Heavy duty alternator?
That'll be the police package.
Okay. That's my main concern.
Bowles? Are we going to use any of the racks or anything like that to put onto the new one from an old vehicle, or are we going to sell those like we did last time?
We don't have anything that's compatible because we're not getting rid of any of the newer models. So the answer to that is no.
Okay. All right. I'm sorry, Hilton?
No, I'm good.
Okay, so all those in favor?
Aye.
All those against? It passes unanimously. Moving on to 7.6, consideration action to adopt Resolution 2017-2018. Supporting passage of Concealed Carry Reciprocity Act, that's what I wanted to say for me, 2017. Do we have a motion? Okay, if I still lack the motion, we're going to move on to 7.7. Consideration action to adopt Ordinance Number 2017-290, granting 20% residence homestead exemption effective for the 2018 tax year and the subsequent tax year after. It's brought by Jennings. Do we have a motion?
Yeah, I'll make a motion to approve Ordinance Number 2017-290, an ordinance with the City of Short Acres, Texas, granting a 20% residence homestead exemption effective with the 2018 tax year and each subsequent year, as authorized by Section 1113 of the Texas Tax Code, containing the savings and severability clause, providing for an effective date, and containing other provisions relating to the subject.
Do you have a second?
Second.
Okay, we have a motion brought by Jennings to adopt Ordinance Number 2017-290, seconded by McCown. We'll start with Jennings.
Yeah, as we've discussed in the past, homestead exemptions are revenue neutral on the total city budget. What it does in the scheme of things, it shifts a tiny, in our case, in Shore Acres, a tiny bit from a homeowner to an investor. In other words, someone buys a rental house, then they're going to pay taxes on $100,000 rental house, and a resident homestead will pay taxes on $80,000 of that. Under 65, over 65, your taxes are frozen. This doesn't really matter a whole lot to you. But the reason this is, obviously this is like the fourth time I've tried to do this, and I pulled it one time because the mayor didn't want it on there, and then she came and put it, and chose to do a 10% homestead exemption. But after our last meeting, the mayor indicated that she was now for it. Because other cities have 20%, and so I thought I would put it back on here. And another thing that it does do is the cost of renters is greater to the city. And you can talk to the chief, you can talk to Mr. Stahl, you can talk to anybody around, just in the services they consume from the city. And so we're a bedroom community. We should be focused on homesteads, and so that's why it's on there, 20%.
McCown?
No.
Bowles? Austin?
I don't think I'm in favor of it. All we're doing is increasing that exemption from 10%, what it currently is, to 20. Probably should have done 20 last time, but we only did 10. So I'm in total agreement.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those against? That passes unanimously. If there's no further business, we'll move on to 8.0 adjournment. 7:33, we'll be adjourned.